Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Rice to Meet You, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. Now, I just want to take some time out before today's episode to thank you guys for all of your support, and a special thank you to all of our patrons. You guys really make this podcast happen, because without your support, we wouldn't be able to do it the way we do. It keeps the podcast relatively creatively free, as Nigel would put it. So thank you. And if you want to join our Patreon and get access to extra episodes and our Discord page where you can interact with other listeners and ourselves, then head on over to patreon.com/ricetomeetyoupod and choose the tier that best suits you. And yeah, we thank you guys so much because we really enjoy doing this podcast and we're so glad that it's reached so many people. So again, thank you. And now on with the show.
Why do you think I flew business? Why do you think I flew business? To make up for the heartbreak. Because I deserve this. I feel shitty enough already. I don't want to sit next to scum while I feel heartbreak. I don't feel heartbreak with champagne.
Hi, and welcome to Rice to Meet You, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. I am your host, Evelyn Mock.
And I'm your co-host, Nigel Ung.
Yay!
Well, I am back in London now, people. My Stockholm trip is over. Yes. Yes. We did escape to... We didn't record any episodes in Sweden this time. But I escaped because lockdown. London went into tier 4, so I escaped to Sweden and it became like a posh COVID refugee. You know?
Nigel, you can't call yourself a... You can't call yourself a refugee.
I'm escaping a horrible situation for a better life. What about that does not scream refugee to you?
You booked business class on BA. You're a jet setter.
No. I don't like that term.
You stayed at a hotel.
Yes, I had caviar when I landed. But that doesn't preclude me from being a refugee. And... I'll have you know this, people. Caviar is the cheapest thing you can get in Stockholm.
I'm going to be honest. It is very cheap. I mean, if you like caviar, like my local supermarket, it's on sale now for like £2.
So, Poor people eat it. Poor people eat caviar. So,
realistically, if you are a refugee, you would probably be able to eat caviar in Sweden.
That's all you get.
But it's all you get to acclimatize your taste buds to Swedish food.
You have to stand in line at the food bank. And they just dish out caviar to you. That's Swedish communism.
Oh my God. But now you are back.
Yes, it is. I guess it's nice to be back in London. I have all my filming equipment and stuff. And I can get to work, you know. I wish I stayed longer, though.
Well, Stockholm's kind of miserable this time of year.
There's no daylight.
There's no daylight. 2:30
and it gets dark.
Yeah, it's nice. But in summertime, it's light until like 11 or something. So,
really?
Give and take.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I want to mention something, though, before we get into today's episode. I know we said we're not going to talk about crystals anymore.
Have you purchased any crystals lately?
I have not purchased any crystals. Although I will say, I was surfing Amazon to look for a gift for my agent, and I came across this like bracelet. Of like just different types of crystals on it, and it said like it was like for attraction, for energy, for healing, and I was like so tempted to buy it for myself, and I was like, no, what is happening? Don't do this. This is wrong.
You should have gotten it. You should have gotten it for the podcast. And can you imagine we open it with like Nigel? So, I've done something bad this week. Yeah. I've made your predictions come true.
I've gotten engaged to myself. It would be so bad. But, oh God.
I let loneliness get the better of me.
Oh,
and now
no.
I have crystals.
You always put it in the most negative way possible.
What do you mean?
I let loneliness get the best of me.
That's what people who buy crystals are.
No. Some people do yoga.
Name me one extrovert with crystals. Zero.
Oprah Winfrey. I don't know.
So you didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it. I did buy it.
Hey, that's good.
I didn't buy it.
That's good. Congratulations, Evelyn, for not buying crystals, for not succumbing to the societal pressures.
I think if we hadn't talked about it on the podcast, I probably would have bought it. It's like, oh, it's like an amulet or something for my mental health. But that wasn't what I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention, and this will be the last time we talk about crystals on the podcast.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
I'm going to make every effort to not talk about crystals anymore. Publicly. Then I'll write about it in my journal.
You'll secretly hide it. You'll buy it, but then secretly hide it and never talk about your shameful secrets.
I'll have a drawer. My crystal drawer. Oh my God. That I open when I need good energy. Yeah. I'm like, ah. Oh gosh. Okay. But I can't believe that neither of us clocked this before. But I just thought about this. Asians, we're Asians. So we don't buy crystals. We buy jade. Yes. Like that's what we buy.
Yes.
I can't believe that neither of us clocked that.
I forgot about that. But yes, that is the Asian crystal. So
it's
you
the Asian crystal.
So are you gonna buy some jade soon?
I already have so much jade. Like, I mean, everybody has, right? Like your grandmother gives it to you every birthday.
I don't. So it's like, I don't.
Really?
Yeah, because they see me, they're like, he's gonna grow up to be a fuckboy. He doesn't need no jade. You know, fuckboys don't need jade. We need condoms, remember? Give me condoms over jade. Fuck jade.
Get jade condoms. Like reusable jade condoms.
It's too cold. It's too cold. And slippery.
What if they could make a dildo out of jade?
You would buy that, wouldn't you? It's green and white and cloudy.
Like the dildo of the Hulk.
And it's so cold and heavy.
It would be so heavy.
And as you use it, you'll hear this sound in your head.
I feel like I'm being so disrespectful right now.
I'm sure there are jade dildos. Let me try to Google it right now.
Oh, no. Yes, there is.
There is.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, no.
We will we'll Google image search. Editor Yang, put some on YouTube. Put some images on it.
We'll get demonetized.
No, it won't. It's just a dildo. Just an image. Put it for like 5-10 seconds. Put it there. Photoshop it next to Evelyn's face and then put a heart emoji next to it. Animate it so it's just poking Evelyn's forehead.
Oh my God.
Animate it.
Don't do that, please. Don't.
Do you think doing this will stop our editor from putting your hands up, blocking the camera, or start our editor doing it?
Yang, be nice, please. Be nice. Don't put it next to Nigel.
No. Full screen Evelyn and have five dildos pointing at her. Five
Stop!
Jade dildos.
Stop.
I think I'm going to be Evelyn Jade Dildo Mock next week.
I can't.
I'm happy for this video to get demonetized. If you could get that image, it's worth it.
How am I still doing this podcast with you? Like, how am I still doing this with you?
When, it's funny. It's funny. Awful. We know, we have a lot of lonely listeners out there who will probably benefit from jade dildos. Our listeners are two camps, you know? I see a lot of fuckboys reach out to me, you know? They're telling me, hey, Nigel, you know, how's Manscaped? The ladies love it, you know? Seriously. I got a few people. And then they talk to me about their workout routine, you know, and they're how do you find calisthenics, bro, you know? So there's two kinds of fans we have on the podcast.
Oh, God.
And listeners, let us know in the YouTube comments or leave a review at Apple Podcasts telling us what camp you are. Are you the 9-condom camp or are you Jade Dildo camp?
Don't call my camp the Jade Dildo camp, okay?
Two slippers
call
camp.
My camp the mentally healthy camp.
Mentally healthy, lonely camp. Okay?
I do get a lot of two slippers camp.
Exactly. Yeah, get a lot of listeners who reach out to me and thank me for being vulnerable on the podcast because they're going through similar stuff. And I appreciate that.
My listeners, my fans, thank me for being, thanks for putting Asian males out there, showing people that we fuck too, bro.
Oh my God.
You're doing all of us a service here.
Oh, your fans are the ones who hurt my fans, and that's why they're in the position that they are.
No.
I can tell you for sure.
No.
Yes, yes. Your fans are responsible for my fans' deteriorating mental health. Because they're fuckboys, and they just do you once and then don't call you again. Okay, it's getting too personal.
Has Evelyn been fucked by one of my fans before? Let's find out.
No. Oh my God, my sexual history isn't great. I'll be honest. But
what history? What history? What history? You need to have shit happen before you have history.
I will say this. I was thinking about my history and I was like, because we talked about previously, the energy you put out into the world is kind of like what you get back.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I put out a good energy and I got pretty good energy back. Like I got pretty decent, nice dudes.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking recently and I was like, oh, the dudes I'm getting attention from now, they're the ones who have avatars on their in their like Instagram profiles. They come on to you in a really creepy kind of way, and it's like I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm putting out an energy that I'm like, how did I get here, kind of,
who knows, you know? Is that the guy you want? The guys who talk about your emotions and feelings, the guys who talk about feelings so much and on so much antidepressants their cocks never get hard ever.
Nigel!
You know? I'm Evelyn Mok. I just want an emotional connection. That's what I want in a mate.
I do want an emotional connection.
Yeah.
I do want an emotional connection.
Oh, you want to be fucked well, too.
Oh, Nigel.
What? Isn't that much to ask? That's what a relationship is. You need an emotional connection, yes, but hopefully the bed stuff is good too.
Yeah, and I don't see why they're mutually exclusive. You act as if they're mutually exclusive.
I'm not saying they are mutually exclusive. I'm saying you attract the kind of guys who only have one of them.
No! No!
Okay.
I? Maybe I do.
Maybe
I
you
know.
Do. I don't know.
I don't know. Oh,
nobody knows. God. I think now you do attract the vibe you put out, right?
Yeah.
I think now you put out a good vibe.
Oh, thank you, you know? Nigel. Can I get an applause?
No, no.
Give me an applause. Give me twice.
You make me feel special.
Oh my God, I can't believe I just did a dance to Twice. I never thought I would do that on this podcast. I thought it was you.
You're becoming a Korea boo. You're going to learn a dance move
I'm
soon.
I'm such a Korea boo. I will say, like, it is that thing where it's like, because just a few months ago, I was like, I was sitting around and I was like, I realized that I think I was attracted to one of my friends that I hang out with.
And listeners, then, it's not me. It's not me, okay?
It's not Nigel. It's
don't
never Nigel.
Ship us.
Yeah, don't. Well, I mean, if you want to, you can, but it's not going to happen. It'd be like incest. But yeah, because I just
Evelyn,
told you.
You can't even handle me in bed. I'll scare you off in bed. I'm too experienced. Seriously. You see the shit I do, you're like, whoa. It's like a high school kid playing in the NBA. You know?
It's not that. It's because you've told me what you do and you do horrible stuff. You're like, I spit in her face. I pull her hair.
Hey, don't share all this with everybody. It's okay. You can keep this in. Don't have to edit this out. But don't share all this.
So it's not because I can't. It's because I don't want to get spat on. I don't enjoy that. What is that?
That's
Why
what
do
I'm
you
telling
spit
you.
On somebody
you haven't gotten to that level yet.
Oh, my God.
You know, you're still riding the bicycle with training wheels on.
With training wheels on. I just believe that there are other ways of making love.
You can't handle it. So don't ship us.
Oh my God.
You'll be scarred for life if you see what I do.
Oh God. Oh, because we were... There's a line. There's a line that shouldn't be crossed. Where's the line until it becomes assault, Nigel? Where's the line?
If it's consensual, it's never assault. Okay.
Oh,
anyways, you are saying you're falling for this friend. You're getting attached to this friend.
I was getting attached to this friend because I was like, he's around. Oh my God.
That's the saddest thing. That's the saddest thing.
I was like, yeah, that's not a good reason to like someone.
Because he's around. Because he's convenient.
Oh, because he's convenient.
Wow.
And we get along. We're friends. But it's like, oh. yeah, this isn't a good idea. Oh, that's so funny.
That's so sad. You know what's going to be around, too?
What?
Crystals and Jade, they'll be around.
I thought we finished it.
No.
I thought we had a really
If you keep giving out this vibe, we'll keep talking about Jade every episode.
Well, I hope I don't keep giving out this vibe because I want to give out a positive vibe, like a nice vibe. Yeah, because now I'm like, oh, I feel like I give off a nice vibe. But now the problem is I'm getting into Asian dude. I can't believe I'm saying this, but
finally,
I've watched so much Korean drama, so I'm like, oh my God.
Listen, it's Asian not just men. Korean dramas. It's Nigel Nine Condoms, you know? It's my conquest that you hear about. And you're like, oh, I want that life.
Your conquest? So yeah. You're saying that you've influenced me to be attracted
I to made you see Asian males as sexual beings, too.
The thing is, I'm glad you introduced me to Korean dramas because if you were the only Asian man that I seen, I wouldn't be attracted to Asian men.
What? What is this?
Nine Condoms Ung. Like, that's everything that I don't stand for. That's so funny. But it is true. You did, your influence of introducing me to more Asian stuff has influenced my attraction to Asian men. But now I'm like, oh, I don't think I give off the vibe that attracts Asian men to me because I'm not conventionally attractive in Asian terms.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Why is a self-limiting belief? I don't think you're too ugly for Asian men. I genuinely don't think that.
Okay, listeners, I know that that sounds harsh, but that is such a compliment.
It is a compliment.
It is a compliment.
You can say to me, Nigel, I don't think you're too ugly for Asian women. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Or actually, for you, it would be white women.
What
it
do you
would
mean?
Be other way around because of the like, or maybe it's Asian women as well because Asian men have been demasculated for everybody, basically. But
yeah, well, I'm just not too ugly for women, period. Okay.
Oh my God, that's actually how I felt a bit of a, like for no. a while. I was just too ugly for men. Period.
No. Listen, you can always rely. If you're an Asian woman and you feel like super ugly, which you shouldn't, by the way, but if you do, don't forget, there's always white men with an Asian fetish who will love you anyway.
Nigel!
Isn't it great to be an Asian woman in the Western world?
Oh, so women, if you feel that you're too unattractive, don't worry. You can always be a consolation prize for weird fetishes.
You can always rely on certain psychological disorders.
Oh, God.
You know? I think it's a great thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing to you and your self-esteem. I'm just saying there's a little backup plan for you if you ever feel like that. But I don't think you should feel like that.
Okay, so this was meant to be like a light, funny kind of conversation touching on how I feel like I'm not attractive enough to to Asian
people. Use the fetish.
You just went.
Use the fetish. If you have nothing else to offer. Use the fetish.
You just dropped a landmine in the what was supposed to be just like a little hole.
It's a funny landmine though. It's a funny landmine.
It's so insulting, Nigel.
Listen, Evelyn.
Oh, it's so insulting.
I don't think you are that ugly that you only need to rely on fetishes. I think you are pretty enough that people will like you for who you are.
Do you really, Nigel?
Yeah, I genuinely think that because, you know, like, I've seen you improving and the YouTube comments, they all say you're getting prettier. And I think
so, too.
You look better. Your skin's better. You're more radiant. You
know, I'm more radiant.
Last year, when we started this podcast, I wouldn't have said that. When you said, I am too ugly for Asian men, not conventional attractive. I'm like, well, the weather's bad, huh? Is the weather bad today? Let's change the topic. Change the topic now, please.
Okay, so I've been reading your YouTube comments, people, and I've seen a few where it says, Nigel's just bullying Evelyn. The roasting is too much. And I understand why you think that now.
No, that's just how Asian friends express love to each other.
I'm so glad I know how you are and I know you personally. I'm not taking this personally, but I do understand how this makes people uncomfortable.
But doesn't that make my compliments so much have so much more weight?
If you believe how
Evelyn loves to say, I feel so much sadness and that's why I have so much capacity to feel joy. Okay? I'm Evelyn Mock. I live in paradoxes. The same way I can say the same thing. I'm so mean, and that's why I can express such great compliments and love to friends. Because I'm Nigel Ng, and I live in paradoxes, too.
You don't.
I'm so mean, I can be so nice.
Nigel, you don't say, I think you're beautiful, Evelyn. You say, I think you're not that ugly that some Asian men might find you attractive. That's what you say. You're beautiful.
Who says you're beautiful? Who says that? Unless you're lovers. We're not lovers. That's what I tell my lover. You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful woman in insert city where she lives. You know? Depends on where I see them.
Insert city where she lives. Yeah. Oh my god, that is so funny. Terrible.
I'm not gonna call you beautiful. That's not what Asian friends do. Fire emoji, yas queen. That's what Instagram does. That's what your Instagram followers do.
If you left a comment like that for me on Instagram, I would be so happy.
I'll do that.
That'd be so funny. Oh my god. And listeners, you can go in and leave a comment as well if you attractive enough for Asian men.
Yeah. That's a great compliment.
Am I K-drama actor attractive enough?
No, neither of us are.
Neither of us are.
Let's be realistic here.
Yeah, we need to be realistic.
You need to start meeting people. Meet some good vibes people, you know? Meet some nice Asian men. Nice Asian men.
Nice Asian men. Yeah. I think, yes, I want to meet nice Asian men. I want to meet someone kind, someone fun.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because it's like, I don't know how to... Because the thing is, I've had flings and stuff, but I haven't had a relationship. So actually, I've been not in a relationship. Well, mossel. I've been mossel. Yeah. Mote solo, which is the Korean expression, which means single since birth. But I find it interesting because I've sort of, this is something that I've seen with a lot of Asians, mostly women, I think, but then also men in the West, where they are just single. They're just single until like adulthood and there's no like prospect of relationship or something like that. And I'm like, is that a thing? Or why is it like that? Is it because...
There are white people who are like that too, you know? Do you think it's more prevalent in Asians here? In the West?
Maybe. I feel like it is because...
I'm inclined to agree with you just based on my own...
experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know people like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I wonder why it is. And you do have a point. There are white people who, you know, also like Western people who are also like that. But in Asia, there's like a term for it, like mate solo, or like, you know, in all the different Asian languages, there are terms for it, like leftover, you know, Christmas cake and stuff. And it's like, well, not Christmas cake, but like old virgin and stuff. Who I think it was the Philippines or something that called it that. Mm-hmm. But so it's such an interesting thing. And I wonder if it is because we're, when you're here, you're raised by, you know, an Asian family. And so you're taught all of these things about being conservative, about dating and stuff. Because, for instance, for me, my parents were like, you know, no boys, no boys. If I went out, they were like, who are the friends? Are they boys? Like, but they weren't like, they weren't strict. They just wanted to know. So I always grew up with this thing of like, okay, no boys, no boys. And then all of a sudden when you turn like 25, they're like, why aren't you getting married? Where's your husband? And so I'm wondering if it's that you just, you're raised with like values that don't necessarily fit into the West, because in the West, it's like, it's very open. It's very like you have sex before you even say hi, you know. But in Asia, it's very innocent. Mm-hmm. Like everything's very like. Yeah. And then I know in culture, like Asian culture, it might be different, but it's like it's very innocent.
And we can't. Yeah, it's not compatible. Can you imagine going on a date here in the Western world? You know, say with a white. I'm thinking. Imagine I go on a date with a white woman, and then I start holding her hand. Who does that?
Holding hands is nice.
First thing you do. You make out with them first.
Holding hands is nice.
You sleep with people first. Before holding hands is more intimate than sleeping with them, you know?
That's weird.
I mean, it is true.
See, that's weird. I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, I think you need to go to Asia and date in Asia.
I think I need to go to Asia and date
And also,
Asia.
Growing up here is probably not good for your sense of self. So you always felt this sense of inferiority, never fitting in.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good, stable sense of self, you're not going to want to date other people because you always feel like, oh, I don't deserve to be with someone.
Yeah, it's that might sad. Be true, actually.
Yeah.
That might be true. So it's like a lifetime of displacement.
Yep.
Not fitting in. That's affected you. Like,
welcome to the Western like world. That's what you get for trying to find a better life. Suffer in Asia like the rest of us. At least you'll be happy, and you'll be having a sense of self. We are poor, sure. It's dirtier, sure.
Yeah.
It's more people. Quality of life isn't as great.
Yeah.
But we meet people, we fit in, we have fun. What would you want?
Oh, dear. And I just have to say, like, I know, obviously, it's not in Asia. It's like dating is very different and stuff. It's not like, of course, people sleep together there. Of course, people have sex and do things, but the impression that I've gotten is that it's a bit different. Like it's more coy.
Yeah.
In a way. The beginning, at least.
You can't do that. Imagine a guy coy here. Ugh.
How was it for you? Did you date?
Yeah, but I was already a fuckboy when I was in high school, so I was an anomaly. So.
Of course you were. Yeah. Of course you were.
I had my old Malaysian teenager boy moves that I make.
What was that?
I had a car, so, you know, it was very convenient. Pick girls up, go to the mall, you know.
Is that like a move?
That's teenagers.
What is that, a move?
They're just impressed you have a car.
How did you have a car?
My mom bought one for me, a secondhand car.
Oh, my and God. Just,
and people just love it. You know, oh, my God, he has a car. Oh my. Teenage women are so easy to impress.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Because I was a teenager too. It's not like I went back there when I was 26, okay? I was 17.
You sound like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. Like, I like high school girls because I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Yeah, like nowadays, if I tell a woman I have a car, they're like, okay, so?
Why?
If you tell women my age, yeah, why? You live in London? Ugh.
You don't need a car.
But then you go to high school, you're like, I have a car. Oh my God. Take me somewhere, daddy. You know.
Oh my God, gross. Oh, Nigel, you really are like the high school like jock.
No, I wasn't a jock.
You weren't a jock but in Malaysian standards, you were good at math, so that makes you a jock.
I did do some sports too, you know. Jock. I was pretty decent at sports too.
Oh,
I was
just
a good
at?
All-rounder, yeah. played volleyball, I played basketball, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, I was decent at it. I wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was decent at it. So, yeah, I had a car. What else did I do? I had confidence. I think that's the most important thing, really. I had confidence to talk to women.
Yeah, that's true.
And I went to so many malls, man. Malaysia, when I was a teenager growing up, we just hung out in malls because you couldn't really drink. So we just hung out in malls in the daytime. Those are our dates. Meet at a mall at 2 p.m. and then have lunch.
Oh.
And then drop her back at her place for dinner with her parents, you know, before dinner time.
And so what? So it was just like you just went on dates, mall dates, basically.
Yeah, maybe hold hands, make out in the back seat of the car. Nothing more. Maybe second base. No, touching each other. That's it, really. That was my Malaysian teenage years.
Your Malaysian teenage years.
Yeah, it's very innocent. It's very innocent.
Okay, yeah.
What were your teenager? What are your Swedish teenage years like?
I was depressed. I was depressed.
As a teenager, I brought them to, you know, I had pretty good date ideas for a teenager.
What were your date ideas?
I brought someone to fly a kite one time. Hey, it was a fun activity.
Okay, fly a kite, and then?
And it works. I use that tactic on many different women. They, uh-huh. Like, oh.
Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
Those are my moves.
That sounds really nice, actually.
Yeah. Oh, actually. Compared to you, depressed in Gothenburg.
I was depressed in Gothenburg.
Whose life do you want?
I was on MSN chat. I don't know if people remember MSN chat, but you know, you could have MSN chat and then you would have like your name would be like titles of songs. So I was always very good at picking like titles of different songs that I like, but that matched up and made a sentence. So I would do that. And then I would chat with this boy that I really liked. Roy, actually, it was his name. I was so in love with him. Oh,
Asian.
My God. His mom was Thai, mm-hmm. His dad was Israeli.
What's happening to Roy now?
And I was attracted to him because he kind of looked like Adam Sandler. Because I loved Adam Sandler. Roy now, I think he's married. I think he's married and he works at, like, for tech. He works
in tech.
Was he
the one who got away?
For a while, I thought he was. Yeah, for a while. Yeah, I thought. Because it was that first love kind of thing where I was like... So I was very dramatic in high school.
I remember my first love too. It was very innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah, we held hands.
Yeah.
That was before I had a car too, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I held hands on a packed train, you know.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Very innocent. Very innocent.
Very innocent. That sounds really nice. That sounds like white people, the nice time white people have in Asia.
You should have grown up in Asia, man. I'm telling you.
It
would solve so many of your mental issues.
I think it would either destroy me.
No.
Or it would make me really hardened.
If you grew up here, then if you grew up in Asia, then it's just normal. It's just what everybody does.
Yeah, that's true. That's what everybody does. But I heard, speaking of that, actually, because I went... I was filming and I was in the makeup room and another actress and the makeup artist were talking and they were talking about their trips to Asia. Uh-huh. And they were like, yeah, it's so nice there. People are so respectful and they're so caring and lovely. And like they really took care of us there. Like it was so lovely, lovely people. And I was like, what Asian people have you met? Like... Yes. Nice? Kind? What are you talking about?
Hey, listen. We are always nice to white people. Because we want them to think our country is amazing and we are always like this and we are so hospitable. But to other Asians, we'll fucking spit in the face. You know, we'll treat them like shit, spit in the face. Which, coincidentally, I quite like. Didn't know that about myself. But
be warned. He will spit in your face. Be warned. I'm just saying it to everybody who's potentially wanting to slide into his DMs.
Not,
be warned.
Not everyone. It depends on the person. People like different things. Okay? The spit in your face vibe is not for everybody. You adjust. You play the room. Right? It's like working a crowd. You kind of know what the crowd needs.
How do you work out that that's somebody who will enjoy it?
You progress. How do you work out that slowly. You choke them first, see if they like it. Okay, they like this. Let's go one step further. And then you do a few more things. And they, if they keep liking it, then it comes to the spitting in the face part. You feel the room. You read the room.
I want to keep this in because I like the idea of people just going like, oh my God, that's how Uncle Roger has sex? And then imagine Uncle Roger choking people.
Hiya!
Exactly, yes. Do it, do it. Do the impression, please.
No, no.
Do it.
No, I'm not doing it. I have a sound effect for it.
Oh my God, you're killing me, woman. Hiya!
Okay.
That is the least sexy thing to hear in bed.
I think it's some people's cup of tea. It's some people's cup of tea.
Hey, I'll take the fetish, man. Sometimes I wish people would only like sleep with me because of the Asian fetish, because then I don't have to try, you know? Yeah. If you have an Asian fetish, please hit me up. I'm tired of being charming. I'm tired of being flirty and smooth and funny and smart. Just sleep with me because I'm Asian. It's so convenient. Please.
What would you do if you got somebody who had an Asian... What wouldn't you do?
would you just be there?
Would you just be there?
Yeah, I'll just be there. I'm like, well, thank you. Yes, treat me like a king. So if you have an Asian fetish, please hit me up.
That's interesting because I did realize how much looks matter. Okay, so Nigel, I was on this film set and everybody was wearing face masks like the crew.
What a smooth segue. Sorry, we got a bit of a tangent there. Sorry, guys. But yes,
it was a smooth segue, wasn't it? I thought it was quite smooth.
It's suddenly choking, fetish. So I was on this film set.
Well, I did say, but, okay. I noticed how much looks matter. I thought I was really smooth. It's the first time that I'm leading the podcast today, people. So it's taking some time to work up.
Well, it's because most of the topics are from Evelyn. So I'm just riffing. Yeah, but it's okay. True. It's fine. I love it.
And it always comes back to sex. It always comes back to your, like, hate sex, which was one of the topics we were going to cover. But then you said no.
I know. It's in my head. I just came back from Sweden. I had shit that went down there. I talk about what's in my head, people.
Okay.
Love makes people irrational. Okay?
Okay.
I tell about my problems to Evelyn, and Evelyn's like, oh, why is your life so much drama? You know?
It's really ironic. It's really ironic because you think that the depressed person would be involved in drama, but it's not. It's not. It's the mentally healthy person that's involved in drama. And also, Nigel and I were talking about, like, love, and you won't believe it, but guess who thinks that real love is how it's in K-drama?
There's guess a little who, bit of that.
Guess which one of us thinks that real love should be the way that it is in K-drama?
Listen, I just guess had some... Who? Listeners, I just had some drama with my time in Sweden, okay? And I sent Evelyn screenshots of my texts with that person.
And I was like, how old are you guys? 14?
That's what love does to people.
It's emotion.
It's animalistic. It's irrational. It's beautiful and heartbreaking at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I feel bad that you haven't felt this love that moves you before.
I felt it.
Captain Ree fucking moved from North Korea to Switzerland. Okay?
Captain Ree is fictional.
Okay. Touche. Touche. Fair point.
And I have felt that kind of love when I was 16. And then again at 24. And that's how I learned. That's when I learned that I'm like, oh, that's not love. That's drama.
What do you think love looks like for people our age in our 30s? What do you think love should look like now?
Respectful, rational, communicative, fun. Joyful.
That sounds terrible. If that is what love is, nobody will fall in love.
Of course, everybody Nobody would fall in love.
No, we love falling in love because we feel like it's out of our control.
You fall in love because it's like, it's comfortable. It's like...
You make love sound like a job at an insurance company. It's comfortable. It's respectful. It's stable.
You make love sound like a car crash.
And it is. It is. You're out of control.
It's not. Oh my God.
What do you think? So I think maybe I'm a romantic. Call me a romantic. But I think that's what love is supposed to feel. Scary, hopeful, fun, unstable, dramatic. Right?
I think that's a very young kind of love. And it's exciting, but it's a very young kind of love.
Yeah, eventually it stabilizes and you start building a life with the other person.
And then what does it become?
Then it becomes a more mature type of love, eventually, but at the beginning stages, you know, for the first 6 months, it's...
Of course it's supposed to be, like, the honeymoon phase is like, you know, what's it called? Tingling and, like, yeah, you know, exciting, and you want to be with that person and you want to talk to that person and all the time, blah, blah, blah. But it's not supposed to be dramatic or hard.
Sometimes it's just hard, you know? Sometimes it's hard. Things that are worth having tend to be hard, right?
Aren't you guys surprised by this? You would have thought that I would have said what Nigel's saying.
I'm a fuckboy, but also, I'm also romantic, okay? Sometimes I fuckboy around and then I fall for someone I'm fucking and, you know, shit happens. And I get my heart broken.
Oh, God.
And I book a ticket to fly back to London. That's what goes on. That was so nice, too, you know?
So, I was at this film set, and...
I feel I tried to lead the podcast, but I keep butting in with my problems.
I was like, this is because usually I'm the one who's kind of like, la 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 la. And then you naturally just take the lead anyways. So I'm like, yeah, let Nigel do it. But then today I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll do it because you kind of, yeah, you're a bit heartbroken. And my topics were the ones that we decided on. But yeah, it is tough because you keep leading it back to your heartbrokenness. And I'm like,
I can't help it. It's in my head.
Yeah. But that's the thing. And then I go, oh, I think we should talk about this because I think he's really in pain. But we can't because it's public. This is public.
We kept it vague enough. We kept the details vague enough.
Yeah, I guess we have, but I mean, we'll decide if you want to keep this in.
Why do you think I flew business? Why do you think I flew business? To make up for the heartbreak. Because I deserve this. I feel shitty enough already. I don't want to sit next to scum while I feel heartbreak. I want to feel heartbreak with champagne. I want to feel heartbreak in the lounge, bitch. I don't want to feel heartbreak in the common area, people waiting for their flights.
Can I tell our listeners? When this happened, Nigel posted a video of Stockholm on his Instagram. It was very nicely shot, but then the soundtrack to it was the most breakup song ever in Swedish. Like,
yes.
When I watched it, it was like, the lyrics went like, oh, the city feels different now. It has your memory all over it. Oh, it's so gray. I'm so sad. Blah, 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 blah. And I was... laughing because I was like, what is going on?
That was our song.
Where is Nine Condoms?
Nine Condoms was taking a break that day.
Why are you posting a breakup video?
Nine Condoms can be vulnerable too.
I was like, how old are you? It was so funny because it was so unexpected.
This is why I get open up to Evelyn and she laughs at me. Who's the bully now?
You have done the exact same thing.
No.
Without being as sensitive to your emotions as I am. No. You do it on the podcast every week.
No.
And now I'm doing it back and it feels really bad, but also it's really funny.
You see why I do it now, right?
It's so funny.
Because punching down is the most hilarious thing.
Okay, no, because... because from my point of view, I'm laughing at this so that my friend will feel less bad about it, hopefully.
Your friend? Who's your friend?
You!
Oh. I thought it's the person I was seeing.
No,
I'm like, why are you
what?
Thinking about her? Why are you on her side?
I met her once.
Weren't we great together? Weren't we great together?
You were very sweet. Yes, you were very sweet. She was very lovely. The situation's bad, but it'll solve itself. Or not itself, but it'll get solved eventually.
Time heals everything.
Well, it depends on what you do in that time.
I'm not Evelyn Mok. I don't need 7 years to bounce back from this. I won't
Speaking
need crystals.
From experience, it depends on what you do in that time.
Now I have to spend New Year's Eve alone.
That's even sadder. What was it? Oh my God. I was talking to him on the phone and Nigel was like, we were talking about this. And then he was like, oh, thanks for listening. Yeah, I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to go have some Huel. And I was like, oh my God. This is so, you're heartbroken. And now you're going to go and drink Huel. I was like, this is so sad. Oh my God. Oh God. And when you're heartbroken, like, I remember there's a comedian called Hari Kundabolu, and his brother Ashok Kundabolu made a funny joke. They had a podcast together, and Hari was talking about a recent breakup that he had, and then he was like, yeah, it was just like so awful eating alone again. And then his brother was like, oh, like, were you sitting there and just thinking, why am I eating? Why am I prolonging my life so I can feel this pain? Like, why am I trying to live longer so I can feel more pain?
Oh, yeah, wait, feels like that.
Okay.
My what parents did mom just- say?
She said, can you be quieter?
My friend needs me. Tell mom. My friend needs me. He's heartbroken. He's drinking Huel in the business class lounge.
Did you drink it in the business class?
No.
Oh my God. So
I like business class too. It's full of lonely people. It is. They rarely travel with a partner. Have you noticed this? We have the whole row to ourselves and it's just one person sitting there.
Yeah.
This is about as lonely people trying to fill a hole, you know?
With money.
With leg room. We lost something important to us, so we fill it with leg room. Yeah. I'm never going to open up to people again. You open up and you get shit on. When I was a fuckboy, nobody shed on my heart. You know? I was unattainable. People liked me more.
It really was like the... it really was like the fuckboy. You really sounded like a fuckboy who got his heart broken. Because of the things you said, I was like, oh my God.
What did I say? I don't remember now.
This hasn't happened to him. Oh, what did you say? Because there was something that you said that I wanted to remember.
Yeah, I even wrote a Christmas card with my handwriting in it. And then with feelings and shit.
Oh yeah, you did say that. You said that. I wrote her a Christmas card. It was
my
handwriting.
I did. I did write her a Christmas card.
With feelings.
With feelings and stuff. A paragraph. It's not like Merry Christmas XOXO. I wrote all the cheesy shit. Oh, yeah, we're going to spend Christmas together. Many more Christmases to come, you know. Da, da, da.
And I'm so sorry I'm laughing at this, but it's just so funny because...
Who sends Christmas cards anymore?
Oh God. It's okay, people. Okay, you know what? Oh, I can't go on. I can't go on because it's just gonna get sadder.
You can't go on? Really? Are you the one with the heartbreak? You can't go on. Really?
I can't go on with this episode because I can't, because if I continue to try to if I continue to shit on you, because it's funny. It is so funny.
It's really funny.
But
and it makes me feel better that you're laughing.
It'll make me feel so
Why?
bad.
Why?
Because at one point, you're laughing now, but then I'm going to hit a nerve, and then you're going to be, that's not funny, actually. And I'm like, oh, no. I went too far.
There is no nerve. There's no nerve. There's nothing you can say that will hurt me more than what I've already felt.
Yeah. Oh, Nigel. That's so cliche.
Hey, you can have your 14-year-old shower thoughts. I can have my cliche in love thoughts, huh?
Yes, you can. And I love that you are, because I can't believe that the tables have turned. In this episode, I did the You Make Me Feel Special dance. And
I need a sad sound effect. Where's a sad sound effect?
I'm leading the I'm sort of leading the podcast, but also you took over.
And I keep bringing it back. Because I know if I let it will all be this shit, which is what you're seeing now.
No, it wouldn't. We had really funny topics and we were laughing. We were laughing, right?
Yeah, laughing is good. Laughing made me feel good.
But yeah, I did the You Make Me Feel Special dance. I'm sort of leading the podcast today. Yeah. And now I'm the one shitting on you. What's happened?
I deserve it. I had it coming.
Oh, maybe this, hopefully this is a cathartic episode for you, Nigel.
It is. It is. And we stopped the recording and I turned off the studio lights. And then I stopped the camera rolling and then I can reflect.
And you can reflect, exactly. Yeah. I hope this was a cathartic episode for the listeners as well. Finally getting an episode where I shit on Nigel. When he's at his most vulnerable.
What a great start of 2021, huh?
I feel so bad.
What great character development.
Very good character development.
I have emotions too, people.
And we finally got to see them.
Yeah.
Very fun. This has been a lovely episode. Nigel, don't cry.
I'm not crying. I cried all yesterday and the day before already.
God.
You know how much concealer I need to wear so people don't see the puffy eyes?
Oh, God, Nigel! Who knew 2020 would end with me feeling okay and Nigel feeling awful?
Sometimes I wish I got COVID now so I have something to keep my mind off things, you know?
Oh, like, God.
I'll think more about trying to breathe than her.
This is great, because if I let him keep going, because he's a comedian, it's going to get so dark. It's going to get so dark. And I would enjoy it. I would enjoy it a lot, but you guys wouldn't. You guys wouldn't. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. All right, let's end it here. Thank you, people. Thanks for listening. And I'm fine.
Just send little hearts. Just send little hearts to him. On Instagram and under this video.
A massive thanks to all of our patrons who make this podcast possible. And we want to shout out our patrons at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Teo, Elvin Ko, Amy Wong, Ange Tran, Angela Din, Anna Chan, Asian Snacks, Augustus Loy, Bill Shields, Blue Duck, CV, Charlotte Woodworth, Chai, Edith Wu, Chinese Hem, Chris Zaykit Wong, Christina Doris, Christina Marie Van Norman, Christy Lincoln, Craig JC, D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon, David Prestoza, Debbie Lee, Dill Dingus, Doug Wheaton, Elizabeth Hay, Ella Woof, Geraldine Wan, Grace Rotz, Hannah Wu, Hung Nok Fung, Hung Black, Iris Holland, Iris Lay, Jackie, Jay Assi, Yan Godfrey, Janet Feng, Jared, Jason Lee, Jeff Cho, Jeffrey Watson, Jenny Chan, Jessica Liu, Ji Won Choi, Jin Cheng Gu, Johanna, Judith Abraham, Judy Lai Norling, Carr, Catherine McRae, Carrie, Krishna, Lam Tin Luk, Byung Leslie, Loi Hugh Dick, Lori Hunt, Martina Gartner, Melissa Pham, Mariah Bell, Moon Chiu, Nadia Branson, Natalie Lay, Nathan Konopka, Nian, Nuridaya Razali, Pei Shi, Perry, Philip Idistrom, Ramona Simonette, Rebecca Tracy, Rose Vidad, Sakura Iwagami, Sandy, Sarah Toh, Shelly Chow, Sydney Mankowski, Samina Wong, Stephanie Bazin, Teresa Ko, Toby Yang, Tom Green, Vita, Vera, Vivian Kaler, Viruni Vera Wong, Wilson Yao, Winky Yu, Zhou Zhang. Thank you so much for your support.